Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 6, Ephesians in chapter number 6 in the New Testament of your scripture. And as you're turning there, we have some in our attendance today from our class who have recently completed their Daily in the Word discipleship program on Wednesday nights, and Ernesto and Anita. And I know Anita's home, not feeling well, but Ernesto, can we give these to you? Congratulations on this. Let's give them a hand. And what a great accomplishment for Ernesto and Anita. And Jacoy, is she in here? I don't know that I saw her, but we'll get her next week with that and give her that congratulations. And then we heard about the Spiritual Leadership Conference coming up June 14 through 17. We'll celebrate 29-year anniversary here at Lancaster Baptist. We'll host hundreds of guests from all over the country and literally around the world. And we'll have some great preaching every night and some wonderful sessions during the day. Now, we need a lot of people in our class to be involved in hosting the conference, maybe serving a meal or helping in the nursery or being an usher or greeter or something of this nature. And there's sign-up sheets that went around today, and we appreciate in advance you helping us. And I really want to see our class own that opportunity to come and to serve. But then we also want to open up registration to the conference. And there are daytime sessions, over 80 of them, on Tuesday and Wednesday, taught by our staff and a lot of guest pastors. My dad comes in and teaches a couple of sessions, and pastors from all over the country and even some from around the world will come in and they'll teach on a particular topic. And so it's a great opportunity for growth. It's a great benefit. And our pastor has said, anybody a part of Lancaster Baptist Church, for any member, the registration is free. So people coming here, they're paying $139 or something like that. But for you, it's free. You can take the sessions and enjoy the delicious luncheon, which will also be free for you. And what's kind of exciting about that is it's going to be in the brand new Walter Center. So we're hoping to cut the ribbon on that Sunday, the 14th. And then those lunches Tuesday and Wednesday will be the first official meals in that building for a conference. It's going to be exciting. And we would love for you to be a part of that. So if you're interested, Brother Daniel and Brother Mike, would you help me real quick? If you're interested, would you just raise your hand? I want to put this registration card into your hand. If you say, man, I'm interested in coming during the days, fill out the card to get registered. It's free. It will not cost you anything. You just need to get registered so we can plan and prepare for your being here. If it doesn't work because of your work schedule or something of this nature, that's okay. We understand, but we do want to encourage you to come and be a part of the nighttime sessions if you possibly can. So just raise your hand. The guys will get you the cards. And then maybe guys help me collect them at the end, or somebody help me to remember, make sure we get those back, and that'll be great. I want to say howdy to Christina's mom and Marlon and Christina. Where did you go on me over here? And right here. And Abina, thank you for coming and being with us. And your sister Crystal, good to have you. Thank you for coming and being our guest today. Be sure to greet them. We're appreciative that they would come and be our guest. And be sure to get to know those around you. We've got some that have been in our class for a long time. We've got some that maybe have just been here a week or two, or some that are coming back, or whatever the case may be. I saw a lot of folks coming in, and you're kind of representing this morning. There was just one of you, and the other one was home not feeling well, or a child sick. We've got some serving in nursery and such. I just want to thank you for being here today. It's going to be a great time around God's Word, and I sure appreciate your faithfulness in being here. Well, Ephesians chapter number 6 is where we're going to turn in a minute. And we're in this series entitled The Secrets of Successful Families, Understanding What Happy Functional Homes Have in Common. And today we're going to talk about proper parental authority. What is proper parental authority, and how do we apply that in our lives? And parenting is certainly no easy chore. There was a brilliant woman, and she had an earned PhD. She was capable of pursuing a very profitable career in basically any field she would choose. But when her and her husband had children, she elected to stay home with her children and to be with them when they were young prior to going to school. And her decision didn't bother her at all. She was at peace. She felt it was what the Lord would have her to do, except when other ladies would ask her, what is it that you do? And she would answer them and say, well, I'm a homemaker, and I stay home and I take care of my children and my husband. And they would kind of look at her and say, oh, and then just walk off. And she always kind of felt a little frustrated by the way she was treated by the other ladies. And so she came up with this response when she was asked that question, what is it that you do? And she now began to say, I am socializing two Homo sapiens in Judeo-Christian values so they appropriate the eschatological values of utopia. What is it that you do? And the ladies would look at her and maybe say, I'm a doctor or I'm a lawyer or I'm whatever, and then they would just leave, kind of not knowing what to do beyond that. And however you describe it, whether you're a full-time or part-time parent, parenting is a lot of work. There's a lot that goes into bringing children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And today we want to continue this journey of what it is to have a successful family and home and to make sure that we have the building blocks that God intended. And this one of proper parental authority is key and one that we're asking God to help us with today. A healthy family is one that is characterized by order and mutual respect. The Bible says that all things be done decently and in order. God has an order for your home and God has an order for mine. It has not changed, it will not change, and it works. Now, we live in a society and a culture that we don't want order. Rebellion is the movement of the day, and we just want to worship people who have the awareness to rebel and to find themselves and to be creative and feel fuzzy about it. And we want to make a big deal of that as though they are leading some progressive, new age, successful life that we need to be aware of. But indeed, there are elements that God intends for us to have in our homes that He teaches through His Word that are vitally important that we got to have if we're going to be successful according to the Word of God. And God has invested in parents' authority. If God has blessed you with children, according to God and His Word, you're in charge. You're in authority. And I know what I'll teach today, and this may spill over into next week, is not real popular. It's not in a lot of the New Age parenting books and such today. And I'm not going to be mean about it, but we're not going to spend a lot of time debating about whether or not God knows what He's doing. That's the approach we're going to take, all right? We're going to take the approach of God's God. God created you. God created me. God created the home. God put the whole thing together. He knows what He's doing. His way is right. And when we do His way, He honors and blesses the obedience of it. And God challenges you and I, even in our prayer life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 in your notes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And God instructs us to pray this every day. Well, what does it mean? Well, the word kingdom literally means direct rule and authority. And God is saying to you and I as His children, you need to pray every day that God's rule and authority would take place in your life here on this earth. We know we live in a country where we abort babies. Well, we know that's against the Bible. And so we as Christians need to pray, Lord, Your kingdom rule on this earth. Help us to cease from this kind of wicked behavior that is prevalent in our society today. And so we should pray that God's extension of authority and will would happen in our own lives while we are here living on this earth. And that includes our personal lives, our marriages, our families, and extending into every other area as well. And part of it is authority. God should have authority over us, and we should assume authority where God indeed gives it. Now, submission to authority is a virtue. It is something that God intends for us to do well and God intends for us to teach as well. But rebellion is a serious sin. Look at 1 Samuel 15 in your notes. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. Wow. God's take on stubbornness and rebellion is really serious. It's as witchcraft. It is as idolatry. It is something that God tends to meddle with in a very serious fashion. And so God has authority in our lives, and He has given us roles and responsibilities in which we should have authority as well. And He doesn't want us to rebel from that. Now, one of the reasons our authority is so important is because in parental authority, we understand that it is our job to help our children be obedient to God and to His Word. And God says much about children obeying and honoring their parents. We turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's look together at verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It's one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 10, 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so God wants children to obey their parents. God wants parents in authority. God wants children honoring their parents in the authority positions that God has appointed them to. So parents who do not exercise authority or require their children to obey and to honor them in their relationship in their home, they're creating problems for the children, for themselves, and for society as a whole, because we're not operating according to God's plan. And contrary to what we think, we're cursing our children with a life of problems and a life of separation from the blessings of God. A lot of parents who don't take an authoritative role in their home do so thinking, but this is the best thing for my kids. This is the best thing to show them love. This is the best thing for them to express themselves and to discover themselves and all of these types of phrases that we hear so prevalent in our culture today. But the truth be known, we're not helping the children. Children need a mom and dad. Children need authority. Children need structure. Children need someone to tell them, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And if you don't do it, this is what happens. Because that's life. And that's certainly the way it works in our relationship with God. And we're preparing them for that. And so this is something we need to recognize. Now, everything we've just talked about authority, is true. But it is also the opposite of what the world around us says. In our present world, submission to authority is a sign of weakness. Boy, if we submit ourselves to authority, then we've got a problem. But rebellion, on the other hand, is considered an attribute to be respected. Man, if somebody is rebellious against life and structure and rules, then we want to buy their t-shirt and attend their concert and applaud them because they must have something that we do not have. And that's the culture our children are growing up in. That's the America in which they're being raised, where they're being bombarded with this idea of rebellion from television, movies, music, peers, etc. Even innocent animated films. So many of them today are about some mom or some dad who were too strict or didn't let Junior or Sally do whatever they wanted. And so now they go out on their own and they write songs about it and they find themselves and they accomplish something great only for mom and dad at the end to tell how wrong they were and how controlling they were. And now all is well because the child got their way. That's basically the plot for a lot of the recent animated films in our society today. And again, many look at them and say, that's so innocent, there's no problem with it. Our kids can see them, they can sing the songs, it won't bother them at all. Listen, what goes in comes out. Everything influences. Everything has a philosophy, and everything influences the lives of our children. And even in our marriages, wives are belittled today if they are following their husbands. Husbands who are striving to live a godly, a faithful life are belittled in culture and society today. Our culture and society, the world that Satan is leading, has an agenda. There's no doubt about it. And we need to be aware of it as God's children. And in order for you and I to do something about the wholesale destruction of the fabric of the home in America today, we have to reject the rebellious trend and get back to biblical authority in the home. And I'm not talking about domineering, tyrant, abusive. I think you know me well enough, and if you don't, keep coming. But that's not what we're talking about at all. But what we are talking about is love. And love is authority. Love is training. Love is nurturing in the admonition of the Lord. And we want to make sure that we unapologetically begin to exercise parental authority in our homes. And when we do, it creates the framework for lasting, loving relationships for us to cherish for a lifetime long. Yesterday, I attended the homegoing service of Shirley Campbell. And Ron and Shirley were married for 53 years. And God blessed them with 3 children and 7 grandchildren. And during the ceremony, the 3 children got up and gave testimony, and the 7 grandchildren got up and gave testimony. And I don't know that I've been in attendance at a service more beautiful and more Christ-honoring and remembering the life of a saint and pointing the honor and glory to Christ. And it was evident that Shirley and Ron loved their children and grandchildren, but it was very evident that they had some authority in their lives. And that led to some very loving and lasting relationships. So how can we understand proper parental authority, and then practice that in our homes? And I want us to look at 3 characteristics of proper parental authority. Number 1, Proper parental authority demonstrates submission to authority. Now, we've heard it that parenting is often more caught than taught. And by that, we mean that our children will more likely see what we do and do that than hear what we tell them to do and do that. Why? Because our walk talks and our talk talks. But our walk talks louder than our talk talks. So if we're the kind of parent that expects our kids to do what I say because that's what I said. Now, by the way, children should be obedient to verbal command. But it should be backed up by life supportive of that behavior. In other words, hypocrisy will destroy any home represented in this room. If you say to your children, this is what you need to do or this is what you should be doing, and you do the opposite, you might as well just stop talking. Because you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your cause, you're hurting your home, you're destroying the platform of influence that you have, and you are creating a root of bitterness in your child that if you don't do something about it, when they hit the door of your home at 18 and go, they're going to go in the opposite direction you ever imagined, and they're going to do it as fast as they can. Why? Because hypocrisy destroys homes. I cannot expect my children to do what I am not willing to do. I cannot expect my children to behave in a way that I'm not willing to submit myself to as well. And so we've got to make sure that our children are seeing the right example in our lives. Now, the Apostle Paul had a message for the fathers in Ephesus about this. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the primary way that fathers do this is requiring something of their children they're unwilling to do themselves. And so if we're going to have proper parental authority, it starts with us. Are we willing to submit to authority? Are we willing to be in submission to the authority that God has given you and I? And this idea of nurturing, we read about in Ephesians, is speaking of training. Now, training a child is different from telling or just verbally instructing. To nurture or to train carries the idea that we need to model for our children what we expect of them. So when it comes to proper parental authority, it's kind of one of those things, if it's going to go right, you got to earn it. If it's going to have the impact it should have, you got to do the work. Sometimes you get privileges by the title by your name. Sometimes you get privileges by the life you live. True authority in the home is the latter. You just got to earn it. I'm not saying parents shouldn't have authority. They should, and God said that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor them. This is God's command. That's God's intention. But God teaches us in His Word, rightly following that command, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. So dads, don't walk in the room and say, bless God, you got to obey and honor me, when you don't deserve to be obeyed or honored. Let's just be honest. We can't walk in the rooms as mom and dad and assume something just because we're mom and dad that our life loudly declares we don't deserve. So if we're going to have proper parental authority in our home, and I think we should, that's why we're devoting the lesson to it, then we've got to first understand I've got to be submissive to authority in my life. So are we? Here's a list of questions I would like us to read together as a class. You don't have to read them out loud, but be thinking in your hearts, what would my answer to these be? Number one, am I really submitted to God's authority? Does God have rule in your life? Do I pray before I make decisions and consult the Word of God for answers? Before I do something, do I take time to say, what would Jesus want? What would He have for me? What does God's Word say? Do I believe authority is necessary for my life? Are we not only aware that we need authority, but are we willingly under authority? Number next. Do I see God's authority, the authority of my pastor, my boss, my spouse, as needed and positive influences in my life, or as negative influences to restrain my need for expression and pleasure? How do we fundamentally view authority together? Am I correctable? That's a tough one for all of us, isn't it? I love the verse in Proverbs about receiving that rebuke, that reproof. There's so much wisdom in that, but are we correctable? Just stop and think for a minute. Who has the authority in your life to come to you and tell you when you're wrong? I certainly hope somebody. I was at a leadership event last week and Peyton Manning was speaking and he talked about seven keys to victory or something like that. And I'm kind of a Peyton Manning fan. I just like hard work and first class and all that kind of thing. And the second point was have a coach. Always have a coach. Always, always, always have a coach. And he's been in the league a long time, and I've been playing football a long time. But sometimes they'll hire maybe a quarterback coach or something that's even his age, you know. He's been at it so long. But he'll go to the head coach in a few short weeks if that coach isn't coaching him and say, this isn't going to work because I want somebody who's going to coach me. I want somebody who's going to push me. I want somebody who's going to speak honestly to me. I want somebody who's going to challenge me to get better. And if Peyton Manning will go to that extent to throw a football better, then what should you and I do to be a better Christian or a better husband or wife or a better father or mother? We too need authority. And we need someone who can speak into our life. We need somebody we can sit across from a table with. How about that couple at whom we buried her yesterday? Some couple in the church been married 50 years. You and your wife take them out and say, hey, teach us something. Man, here's where we're at right now. What would you say to this? And look for people to speak value into your life and to kind of push back and say, boy, be careful about that. Or I'd reconsider that. Are we correctable? Do we have a teachable spirit? What is our response when confronted or corrected by authority? And nobody likes to be corrected by authority, but what is our response? Do we have a spirit-filled response? Do we accept it? Do we thank God for it? Do we speak negatively of police, government leaders, church leaders, our boss at work, or other leaders? When it comes to authority, do we kind of badmouth them? Do we demonstrate the attitude toward the authorities in our lives that we want from our children? That's a convicting thought. What if our children treated us like we treat authority? What would that mean in our home? What would it look like? And I think we're beginning to understand the essence of it. If we're going to have proper parental authority, we got to lead by example. And if our children treat us today like we treat authority, the problem is not with them, the problem is with us. We've got to respond to authority correctly. We've got to set the right example. We've got to say to them, follow me as I follow Christ. Here's the pattern in which to follow. Now, if our children grow up to be like us in this area, will God bless them? If they respond to authority as we do today, are they on blessed ground of God? Do I reinforce the authority figures who are trying to keep my children in account, teachers, etc.? Or do I take up my child's offense against them and dispute their authority? I had the privilege for, three or four years to administrate a Christian school. And there were parents that you just knew when they came into the building why they were coming in. And their little Johnny had never done anything wrong. And this teacher, you know, was always at fault. And they were kind of coming in with their ammunition. And they were going to, you know, make it right. You know, we tried our best to lovingly work with parents and so forth. But with some parents, you just had to look at them and say, listen, let's make a deal. Why don't you not believe everything Johnny tells you about us? And we won't believe everything Johnny tells us about you. Because with some, you just can't win. Why? Because some parents are so driven that their child has been wronged and da-da-da-da-da-da, and we got to go and we got to make it right and we got to do all these things. Listen, you know what? Number one, we want to be careful what authority we put our children under because we want to back that authority. I grew up in a home where if I got in trouble at school, I got in trouble at home. If I got in trouble at my friend's house, I got in trouble at home because I was always under an authority that was in agreement with my parents. So if I got in trouble there, I got in trouble there because they were working together. That was the environment in which I knew. So you want to be careful what authorities you put your children under, but you also want to recognize, you know what? Sometimes authority is going to be wrong. Look at Joseph. Joseph in the book of Genesis was often under bad authority, but because he knew how to respond to bad authority, look how God blessed him. I mean, from a slave to second in command, I'd say it's pretty good. I'd say that's not bad. I'd say that's a pretty successful career path. How did he do that? He learned how to respond to authority. He learned what it was like to be betrayed by Potiphar's wife. He learned what it was like to be forgotten and left in prison for 2 years. He knew what it was like to be mistreated and abused. Joseph full well knew all that, but he had the right response to authority, and God blessed him. But we've got to have the right example in our lives in this area, and we want to answer these questions to help us do it. We want to be a good example to our children by displaying a positive attitude toward authority. We want to train our children how to do that. They should see you and I doing that, honoring authority in our lives and teaching them to do the same. So do we need parental authority? Absolutely, yes. Where does it begin, Brother Gabe? With us. We've got to set the right example in our submission to authority. Then secondly, proper parental authority honors God and God's order for men and women. Now, in our society today, it is not uncommon to have a role reversal in marriage. And by that, what I mean is a husband who is very passive and compliant, and a wife who is very aggressive and dominant, okay? And it, while it may be common, of course, it doesn't work. Why? Because the husband, regardless of how good-natured he may seem, feels emasculated by his wife and begins to resent her dominance and aggression. The wife, though very strong and capable, begins to resent and disrespect her husband because of his weakness. So God created the home. God gave man and woman, husband, wife, father, mother, a role, a responsibility. And when we reverse that role, it has a negative effect on our home, our marriage, and ultimately on our children. A lot of parents don't understand that everything we do speaks to our children. The way we live, the way we operate, even when it comes to fulfilling our own role in life, is communicating and training and setting an example for our children. As a man treats his wife, he's training his children. He's training his son. How should a woman be treated? He's training a daughter. How should you be treated? The way a wife treats her husband, she's training her children, training her daughters. This is the way you ought to treat your husband. Training her son. This is the way you ought to be treated by a godly, faithful lady. Many years down the road. But they're setting the right example, and they are communicating and teaching these things. Now, proper parental authority must be built up between a proper relationship with us and God and us and one another as husband and wife. Now, for a single parent, this role would be, then you've got to find your gender role and then fulfill that role regardless of the extra responsibilities you would carry. And God's grace is sufficient, and a church family is such a blessing there. So what does this marriage look like? These roles, this husband and wife, and how they intertwine together. Well, look at Ephesians 5, a beautiful picture of it beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, that he loveth his wife, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So this passage, as we wrap up this morning, describes a perfect marriage. You've got a female who is married to a male. That's the way God intended it. You've got a female who is honoring the sacrificial love of her husband. And you have this strong woman who understands she is his equal, but she honors his authority and responsibility because God gave it to him. And the man understands his job to sacrificially love, to give himself for his bride as Christ gave himself for the church. And he understands that he is to lead his family because that's the authority and responsibility that God has given to him. And this couple, as they love one another, as they strive to fulfill their roles and responsibilities, begin to meet the deep needs in each other's lives. Now, why is this so important when it comes to parental authority? Because our ability to exemplify and provide a pattern for the gender role of our children is incredibly important. Number one, why? Where else are they going to see it? What is left in society where men are men? There's not many venues. What's left in society where ladies are ladies? We have things so backwards in our culture and fabric today of America that our children desperately need to see, what does it look like? What did God intend? How does it work? And we have the privilege and we have the responsibility to show them in our homes, that they would see this example in us. And we cannot create in our children what is in us. We cannot give them something we do not have. And the reason that many couples cannot produce order and mutual respect in their children and in their home is because they don't have any in their own relationship. I'm going to say that again and listen very carefully. The reason many parents struggle to produce order and mutual respect in their children is because they do not have order and mutual respect in their own relationship. If we pull back the curtains on their marriage relationship, this is what we would find. Because we are at odds with God's intended gender role and responsibility. We don't like it. So what are we doing? We're rebelling against it. And it's affecting our home. And the reason there's not peace and order in the home is because there's not peace and home in the marriage. And there's got to be peace and order in the marriage. And proper parental authority, it's not a dominant position of demanding rules and harsh discipline. We spent a whole week on the balance of grace and truth. So we understand these things. But it is a living example of biblical submission for God's order for our lives. We have to come to the place as families in His design to say, God, you know what you're doing. And I trust you. And I don't know that I'm fit to lead my family. But I know someday I'm going to have to answer you for it, so I'm going to do my best. And a wife may say, God, I don't always know why you've picked my husband to lead, but I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to do my part to honor you. And we are going to try to have peace and respect in our relationship so that we can then galvanize that in the relationships, including our children. And if we will set the right example, and if we will find our role and responsibility and fulfill it, we can help pattern the type of authority we should have. And next week, we're going to look at then really kind of the nuts and bolts, how to implement that in the home, even in the area where we're carrying out when our children are rebellious. Okay, if we're trying to set the right example, and if we're trying to be the right husband of dad, and they're still rebellious, what do we do? We're going to answer that question next week. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time together in your word. Thank you for our class. What a joy to be together. Lord, I pray for those that are not here this morning, maybe out of town or not feeling well, that you'd bless them. Lord, I pray that you bless all that are here today and help us in our homes to illuminate and illustrate proper parental authority. God, I pray that you would bless each and every family here. Bless us this week. Bring us back next Sunday as we desire to learn more from you that we can apply in our homes. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.